and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this, what is it, Thursday afternoon? Wednesday? I don't know. My computer's restarting, so I can't look where I normally will. Who knows? Who knows anymore what the hell's happening in the world? I do. I'll tell you all about it today. We got, obviously, the war in Iran continuing. Not a lot of big changes there, just everything getting a little bit worse. But don't worry, we've got a lot of other stuff beyond Iran to talk about. I'm going to do a deep dive on the UK, try to figure out what the hell is going on in that godforsaken island. We also have some terror attacks, potential Iranian sleeper cell activity here in America. There's also an interview that Brett Baer did with Larry Fink. I think we'll take a look at, see if we can't judge it appropriately. Just tons of stuff to talk about today. I'm going to take your calls as well. I have a special idea about the calls that we'll be taking and has to do with the imminent shutdown of InfoWars. Stay tuned for that. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. It's Thursday, guys. I figured it out. All right, here it is, folks. Your daily dispatch for Thursday, the 12th of March, 2026. Suspect in Detroit area synagogue attack is killed by security, sheriff says. A suspect in an attack on a synagogue in the Detroit area is dead after ramming a truck into the building and being confronted by synagogue security, Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard said. However, there are no reported injuries among the student or staff on site. And this was being reported at first as a shooting. It appears as though the attacker either didn't have a gun or didn't have time to get out a gun. So far, the story is that this truck drove right into the synagogue, was driving down one of the hallways when the driver was killed by not a local police officer, but one of the security officers at the synagogue, private security who'd been hired. And then the truck either had an explosive in it or caught fire because of the crash. And we're still, I'll show you a video of the sheriff giving a press conference on this in just a second, but we're awaiting any updates to that. We also have a shooting at Old Dominion College in Virginia, and that ended with the shooter dead as well. We have a name for that shooter. I'll bring you that in just a second. But all of these are making people think that perhaps the warnings about Iranian sleeper cells should have been paid a little bit more attention to. And we have statements from Trump about that, whether these are false flags, actually coordinated sleeper cell attacks, or just sort of independent extremists acting on their own volition. I don't know, but I know it was probably a mistake to A, let all these people in here, B, then start a war against them. That was kind of stupid, I think. I think that was a mistake. I think we should have maybe solved the first problem before we made the second, but you know, I guess, you know, retrospect is always 2020, right? Meanwhile, four drones stolen from Fort Campbell. Army offers $5,000 reward. Investigators shared two photos of the individuals who may have been involved in theft where four drones were stolen from Fort Campbell. They're offering a reward of up to $5,000 as they search for whoever stole these drones. But again, in the heightened security atmosphere of Iran and the supposed sleeper cells, it's obviously a concerning thing to have happened. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, the war, of course, against Iran continues to expand and grow and accelerate, as well as the corresponding related, but not exactly the same, war against Lebanon. Iran war live. Oil prices soar past $100. New Supreme Leader says Strait of Hormuz should stay closed. Iran has stepped up attacks on oil and transportation facilities. The new Supreme Leader, Mujtaba Khamenei, issued his first statement in which he said the Hormuz Strait would remain closed. At least six tankers have been hit in the Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. Brent oil prices are back to around $100 per barrel. U.S. President Donald Trump says the U.S. needs to finish the job. And the IEA says the war has caused the biggest disruption to global energy supplies in history. And in fact, we have news of some of the strategic reserves being emptied out for this elective and pointless war. At Ramlat al-Baida, a massacre on the beach, basically the Israelis have massively expanded the exclusion zone in Lebanon where they tell everybody to flee from. Millions of Lebanese people, hundreds of thousands of Lebanese people, I should say, at this point have fled their homes. Many of them are camping on a beach, having fled their homes, and then Israel bombed them.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DalsonStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAlchemistStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAlchemistStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. News continues to break. Minutes ago, we've got a new video of Benjamin Netanyahu prophesying the return of the Messiah. It's not going to be next Thursday, he says. So if you got something to do on Thursday, that's fine. You can do it. The Messiah will not be coming on Thursday. I'm kidding. I'm not. That's literally what Benjamin Netanyahu just said. Yes, I'll have to show you the clip in just a second. We have a lot of videos to get to today, and so I'm going to try to get to as many of them as humanly possible. I think we'll start with the video I just put in there, the statement from the sheriff in the Detroit area that was handling the Detroit area attack on the synagogue. Suspect in Detroit area synagogue attack killed by security, sheriff says. We have a press conference from the law enforcement in the Detroit area. Now let's go to that.
He drove in through doors with a vehicle.
There was only one person in that vehicle?
That's what it appears at this point.
What do we know about this fire?
Something ignited in the vehicle. That's a work in progress. We're through an abundance of caution clearing the vehicle for IEDs or any explosives. We've got a significant number of bomb dogs on site, bomb techs on site. And all of that's going to be done to check the boxes. We have deployed resources all across the county, just in case, out of an abundance of caution, that there may be a secondary site. But we don't have any information at this time to believe that. So we want people to take a breath. No one was hurt. We're on top of it. The chief and his team got here fast. Everything that was supposed to happen, happened. Security did their job, and then the responders did theirs.
Was it a Michigan vehicle?
Sheriff, what did the call come out as?
All right, so there's just a little bit more details. So yeah, it appears as though it wasn't a shooting per se. It was, although the guy, I guess the guy may have had a gun. We don't know that yet. But apparently the truck fire that happened either because of the truck crashing or there's rumors that there was some sort of explosive device in the car that either exploded or caught fire. But they're saying that the suspect who was killed by the private security in the synagogue was burned beyond recognition. So they're having trouble identifying him. The situation, the sheriff's department says law enforcement responded to an active shooter situation. They said a man drove through the door of the building and down a hallway. Two law enforcement sources told CBS News the suspect rammed the vehicle into the synagogue, then exited the vehicle with a rifle and was then shot by synagogue security, though Bouchard would not say how the suspect died. No students or staff were injured in the incident, Bouchard said. We've accounted for everybody we believe was in the building at the time, Bouchard said. Now, this happens on the same day as a shooting at Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia, according to Nick Sortor. The shooter is named Muhammad Jallo, a former Army National Guardsman arrested in 2016 for providing material support for ISIS. So, I hate to laugh, but I feel like we could have seen this one coming. I feel like the man had a decade after which he was convicted of giving material support to ISIS to, I guess, stew and seethe in his hatred for America before finally letting it loose on a bunch of innocent children. Why is somebody convicted of supporting ISIS walking free? Nick Sortor asks. Jola is a naturalized U.S. citizen from Sierra Leone, traveled overseas multiple times attempting to join ISIS. He was convicted in federal court and released from federal prison in 2024. He should have been in Guantanamo Bay. The shooter is now deceased. Good riddance. Tell you what. if somebody from Sierra Leone comes to our country and then tries to join ISIS, let's just send them back to Sierra Leone. I think I've solved that problem pretty expeditiously. Expediently. Why was he here? What? Why was he here in the first place? Why was he allowed to stay here? Why is he an Army National Guardsman? Why do we have Army National Guardsmen from Sierra Leone? They're trying to join ISIS. You're telling me he came to this country, we trained him in military tactics, gave him a rifle, then he tried to join ISIS, and we just let him go? We just arrested him, convicted him of joining ISIS, trying to join ISIS, wagged our finger and said, get out there. Go ahead, you're free to go. Don't do it again. Don't try to join ISIS again. I mean, I shouldn't even be making light of this because he just opened fire at an American university, but it's like, No, there's probably like a million of these types of people running around, which they should all be arrested and sent back to wherever the hell they came from. Problem solved, folks. Or we can just keep dealing with this forever. And this is him being hauled off. So he was killed during the attack. But it seems almost like an everyday thing at this point with all of these people that we've welcomed into our country, bringing their psychotic blood feuds from wherever the hell they came from to here and making our lives miserable. We'll stick with Iran right now, but we're going to talk about how this is happening in the UK to a degree that is truly shocking and unbelievable. But the latest on the Iran war is that it continues to not go so well. Tel Aviv continues to get bombed to smithereens on a nightly basis. U.S. intelligence says Iran government is not at risk of collapse, say sources. U.S. intelligence sees no imminent collapse of the Iranian government. Recent intelligence reports are consistent. Iranian Kurdish militias are short of fighters and arms. U.S. intelligence indicates that Iran's leadership is still largely intact and not at risk of collapsing anytime soon after nearly 2 weeks of relentless U.S. and Israeli bombardment. According to three sources familiar with the matter, a multitude of intelligence reports provide consistent analysis that the regime is not in danger of collapse and, quote, retains control of the Iranian public, said one of the sources, all of whom were granted anonymity to discuss U.S. intelligence findings. Again, the actual upshot of our attack on Iran has been previously dissident factions within Iran have pledged loyalty to Iran. Like, there were factions of ethnic minorities that operated sort of as lawless gangs and you know, terrorist factions within Iran, and they're putting out videos saying, we stand with Iran, you know, like, and hey, maybe it might just be cynical on their part, like, they might just see this as a chance to, hey, let's wipe the slate clean of all the crap that we did before. We're going to fight for you now, and then everything's cool, right? Like, maybe that's why they're doing it. I don't know, but they are doing it. So, what did you expect? So, what did you expect to happen? I mean, can somebody answer this question for us? Somebody in the Trump administration just honestly come out and tell us what you thought was going to happen and what's happening now? Because things are not aligned, obviously. Obviously, they didn't expect to be 2 weeks into the conflict with the Iranian government stronger than ever, the Ayatollah replaced with somebody even more extreme, Tel Aviv being bombarded on a regular basis, every major billion-dollar radar array in the area that we installed shattered to pieces. I mean, this wasn't what you thought was going to happen, did you? Was this the plan? This was the plan? Okay, there's only two options. Either this is what you wanted to happen, in which case, what the hell? Why? What is the point of this? Or you didn't intend for this to happen, in which case, we need to know what you thought was going to happen, so we can move forward, try to correct the mistakes that you made. And again, like, people, I even think people are like sincerely believing that like it's going really well. But like, I'll read a message here, and it's just from like a friend of a friend, let's just say, and you know, an Army guy who just sort of loves what's going on. And he says, at this phase of the operations, the IADS has been completely destroyed. The next phase should be total destruction of all HDBT sites, all C2, and all leadership. This is all pre-planned. as deliberate targeting using B-1s and B-52s, it's when you hear about the big bombs going off. So in other words, it's like, nah, this is all like according to plan. Like first you take out these sites, first you take out the highest level stuff, then we're moving to lower level stuff. Now that we have air superiority, then we can go in with the really big bombers that aren't very maneuverable. So you can't do it if you expect a lot of air defense. But now that we've taken care of that, now we can bring the big bombers in, drop the really big bombs and do the real damage. And so my response to that is just like, okay, and then what? Okay. And then what next? What after that? Okay. So you have, in a very sophisticated and deliberate and strategic fashion, degraded and destroyed Iran's ability to exist. What's next, though? There is no conclusion to this, short of installing a puppet from a regional actor like the Kurds who can move in and take it over, which in and of itself, again, is just replacing one ethnic faction with another. Like, it's not solving any problems. I guess there'll be loyal puppets of Israel and America, but we've seen how that can go. And it's going to be strife. It's going to be civil war. There are going to be factions that don't want to give up. And that's the best possible scenario. The only other option is boots on the ground invading. You cannot overthrow a country with air strikes. It's just not possible. Do you know how I know this? You want to hear my just perfect argument for this? You cannot have a disagreement. Gaza. Y'all remember Gaza? Do you remember a little place called Gaza where they are still bombing to this day? Where they still can't send Israeli soldiers in without getting hit by Hamas? Where Hamas still operates and is armed? A 25-mile square strip of landlocked desert with no mountains? They still haven't taken Gaza. It has been 2.5 years of saturation bombing. What do they think is going to happen with Iran? So I will just keep saying that every day until it's just like Iran is a completely shattered mess and we're still here 20 years from now. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. But like, I think some people are genuinely like, wow, they're like impressed. They're like blown away at how like good our military is at taking out targets. And it's like, okay, but why? To what end? For what reason? In service of what strategy? Like, okay, I bet I could blow up a lot of people too if I had the same equipment. I don't see it as that impressive. I don't know what's so impressive about systematically bombing a country over and over again for no reason, killing a bunch of innocent people. What am I supposed to be like pumped up by this? Man, America's so strong, we're so cool. Yeah, I guess if you're into like, you know, massacres and slaughter, I don't know. I don't see a lot of people out there cheering on and being impressed by the incredible skill of Elliot Rogers, right? Oh, wow, the super, super well-armed faction is raining death on the unarmed faction? Pfft, America, like, we're so cool. It's just ridiculous, utterly ridiculous. So, again, I think, like, a lot of people, I don't get it. I don't get the mindset. But it's like, okay, I guess you know the initialisms, right? You know the code words. So I guess it's good. Well, you don't understand. They're bombing the ACBCs, and next they're going to hit the HB1s. And only after that can the B1s and the B52s really bring the bunker busters. Okay. And then the children will die. What are we doing? I'm sorry. And then we'll kill enough children that the Iranians will welcome us with open arms and we'll have a freedom-loving coalition of democracy there? Well, I'm sorry. What are we doing exactly? Since launching their war, the U.S. and Israel have struck a range of Iranian targets, including air defenses, nuclear sites, and members of the senior leadership. The Trump administration has given varying reasons for the war. In announcing the beginning of the U.S. operation, Trump urged Iranians to, quote, take over your government, but top aides have since denied that the objective was to oust Iran's leadership. What are you talking about? That's the craziest sentence I've ever heard. Craziest paragraph I've ever read. In announcing the beginning of the U.S. operations, Trump urged Iranians to take over your government, but top aides have since denied the objective was to oust Iran's leadership. What do you mean the objective was not to oust Iran's leaders? You killed all of them. What do you mean that wasn't the objective? Like, this is what I mean. It's like, okay, how many layers of insanity can we have in like two simple statements? And like, how funny, the reason I'm laughing is because it's just like, hey, you guys should take over your government. And you say that just after systematically killing every member of government. You guys should go. You guys should go take the leadership position. Don't worry about the gun pointed at your head. Just, it's your turn. You go take it over. You can trust us. We're America and Israel, the most trustworthy nations. So he's urging Iran to take over their government, the government that he just killed. But that's not an official stance. But neither is killing the government, which we actually did. So I'm just trying to think of other situations where you can do something and then say, that was not my position. Like, you can actually go out and do something and then go, that was not my objective, actually. Actually, my objective was never to step on your foot. I just happened to deliberately do it multiple times, but that was never my objective, so I am forgiven. Like, I don't know what we expect to happen next, but that's fine. Okay, so it was never the objective to oust Iran's leadership. We just accidentally murdered all of them. In addition to Khomeini, the strikes have killed dozens of senior officials and some of the highest-ranking commanders in the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, an elite paramilitary force that controls large parts of the economy. Still, the U.S. intelligence reports indicates that the IRGC and the interim leaders who assumed power after Khomeini's death retained control of their country. Probably greater than they did before. Because again, I mean, just, it's like our actual aims aren't even enunciated. They're never even actually said out loud. The aims that we claim to have are in direct, dichotomous opposition to the things that we're doing. So it's going like this. It's still going like this. And there's no sign of it changing at all. And perhaps the craziest part of all of it is that we are actually getting less than the first war on terror. I'm like shocked that this is the real world. I cannot believe that we're not in some sort of Black Mirror parody of reality, but we don't even have weapons of mass destruction to point to. We don't even have a regime that we're trying to overthrow. And the excuses that they're using in sending us to war are the exact same pointless, meaningless phrases, the catchphrases, the slogans that have killed a million or more people over the last two decades, and they're doing it again. Go to clip 27 here, and I just want you to watch this woman's facial expression. I want you to really study the expression on her face. There are certain universals when it comes to human expression, and I think it'll be easy to read her face. Maybe we'll have to pause it, but let's just watch first. Clip 27. Remember, they're not giving you weapons of mass destruction. They're not predicating this on a giant terror attack that brought down two buildings in New York City. They're not trying to overthrow a regime and bring about regime change, to bring democracy to a region. We have gone to war in Iran, and we have not been given a reason. And in lieu of logical, patriotic, or moral reasons, we are given the most flaccid and pointless slogans that we've heard 10 billion times in our life. Let's watch.
Iowa, out of the Midwest, you know, people are split on this, but they understand the threat to the homeland. And if we want to protect Americans here, we have to send our servicemen abroad.
And Senator, you also.
We have to fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here. Believe it or not, folks, they are actually still claiming that. No, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. The climate change people are still claiming the ice caps are melting. It's just, It's just terrifying. I just feel like I'd like to wake up now, please. I feel like I'm in a nightmare, bad dream. I cannot believe where we are in 2026. Through everything we've been through, I feel like it's like, I don't know. There's not even a thing to compare it to, because it alone is simple enough. We are in the year 2026 going to war. We are in war in the Middle East. And they're saying, so we have to stop their weapons of mass destruction and stop them over there so we don't fight them over here. And it's just like, what do we do? What do we do about this? This is crazy. I was going to say, it's almost like I'm sitting here going, wait, they're saying there's a new virus out of China and we need to lock down? No, wait, no, we did this already. No, we went through this. This is the problem when you don't tar and feather your politicians when they try to do things to you. This is the issue. This is the long-standing issue. This is why we should have hung the Bushes for treason. We would have prevented this if we would have charged them with treason, if we would have treated the war on terror, the wars on terror, the last several decades of American foreign intervention, killing a million people, wasting trillions of dollars, all predicated on knowing blatant, deliberate lies. We should have charged those people with war crimes, charged them with treason. And only after having been convicted by a jury of their peers should we have carried out the due punishment for traitors. Because then we wouldn't have to worry about this. Like, this is the problem. This is why we need to punish the people who did COVID. That's why we need to punish the people that did the Russiagate conspiracy and all this stuff. Hell, let's go back and punish the war criminals for the first couple of Iraq wars. Like, I feel like we need we've been talking about Nuremberg 2.0 for COVID. I think we need a Nuremberg 2.0 for the Middle East wars. And I think only when everybody involved, Netanyahu at the front and center, are tried, convicted, and given exactly the same punishment as the Nazi leadership at Nuremberg, only then will the world be able to heal and move on. And then we should implement the exact same strategy that was implemented against Nazi Germany. By which I don't mean that, you know, you should rape 90% of the women and starve 12 million of them to death. I don't mean we should treat them that brutally. But in terms of the educational program that was implemented on Germany, I think we need to somehow, systematically, through a all of society curriculum, weed out and destroy this mindset, this neocon mindset that keeps getting us into the same war over and over again. We've got to do something drastic, dramatic. Now, if we can bring up clip 27 and just play it, and just at her, the last, like right when she finishes talking, pause it for me. So let's watch here.
Out of the Midwest. The same clip. You know, people are split on this, but they understand the threat to the homeland. And if we want to protect
Americans, trying to sound sincere and heartfelt,
we have to send our servicemen abroad.
And pause. There's the look right there. There it is. I'm not like a facial, I'm not one of these lie detector people. But you can look at her face, the eyebrows up in the middle, the pursed lips. She looks like terrified. Like, she looks like she is lying. She looks like she's lying. I'm not a body language expert. I think the woman in the middle, I think her face could be right next to the label liar. Here's how you detect a liar. I'll illustrate it on the other side. Stay with us, folks. This is important.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. starting in the 20s. We had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you've just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're talking about the war against Iran and Lebanon. And I want to go to a video here. It's a little bit longer. Clip 22. It's not normally the type of video I'd play because it's making a pretty like hardcore prediction about nuclear bombs being used. And I'm not trying to be the boy who cried wolf, right? But I think if you listen to the reasoning and when you hear how he's laying out the facts that we know and everything factual the guy mentions, I can't help but, I mean, I know it's true. And so the conclusion he gets to, I can't help but think has some pretty good credence to it. And I'll show you more clips to illustrate why, but I think this reasoning is terrifying, but accurate. Let's go to clip 22 here.
Could we be witnessing the first nuclear strike in modern history? I need you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say, because the indicators coming out of Western, Iranian, and Arab media in the past 24 hours, when you connect them, they all point to one terrifying possibility. Something massive is coming, and we need to understand what it is. Let me walk you through this step by step. First, the mystery that's been puzzling observers. Why have Israeli warning systems been failing? Why are Iranian missiles getting through the Iron Dome and hitting deep inside Tel Aviv? Here's what we now know. Iran, with Russian intelligence support, Chinese satellite guidance through the Beidou network, and advanced targeting systems has accomplished something critical, something Washington and Jerusalem never anticipated. They've destroyed a significant portion of the early warning radars for Thaad and Patriot systems across the Gulf. These were the eyes that detected Iranian launches and warned Israel before interception. Now those eyes are gone. Israel is effectively blind, and the Israeli military can't send warnings to civilians. Combine this with the heavy media blackout on damage inside Israel, and statements from British and Australian politicians about legal penalties for filming destruction in Tel Aviv, and you realize the situation is far worse than officially acknowledged. Second, the Revolutionary Guard has announced striking over 200 strategic targets and American bases. Reports suggest America is now relying more on Asian bases and aircraft carriers. What does this logically mean? The American presence in the region has taken a hit far larger than media reports admit. This is a catastrophe for Trump, who still hasn't figured out how to sell this to the American public, already deeply opposed to this war. Third, because of these unacknowledged losses and severe ammunition shortages, America and Israel have shifted to targeting Iran's critical infrastructure. Yesterday, they destroyed a desalination plant on Keshem Island, over 30 Iranian oil facilities, caused environmental disaster and acid rain over Tehran. Iran responded by hitting the Bazan refinery in Haifa, infrastructure targets across occupied territories, with devastating cluster munitions. Fourth, who suffers most from all this? The Gulf states. Because every strike happens over their territory, every American base they allowed for protection now threatens them. Senator Lindsey Graham, close to Trump, just demanded Gulf states intervene directly against Iran, said America won't defend them alone. This is exactly what Trump and Netanyahu want. It's why Mossad and CIA have conducted dozens of false flag operations, hitting Gulf facilities and blaming Iran, to drag Arabs into destroying each other, clearing the way for Israel's greater project. Fifth, and this is where it gets truly disturbing. American generals are telling officers this is a religious war, Armageddon, that they're accelerating Christ's return. This isn't rhetoric. Over 110 complaints have been filed by officers refusing to fight for religious objectives. I'll source this in comments. Sixth, Gulf states are waking up. Qatar officially announced it won't join any war against Iran. Saudi Arabia maintains restraint. UAE businessman Khalaf Al-Habtour has been posting direct condemnations of American intervention, saying Gulf states reject wars that don't serve their interests, and that American bases meant for protection now threaten their security. He said it clearly, "We don't need your protection. Just keep your ears away from us." A man in his position doesn't say this alone. So where are we? Iran is resilient, delivering devastating blows to Tel Aviv, which by some accounts now resembles Gaza internally, and causing unacknowledged heavy losses to America. If this continues, it destroys Trump's popularity, isolates him, and guarantees prosecution under Epstein cases. It destroys Netanyahu's political future. They need an unconventional solution, and there are only two options. Option 1, troop insertion 2, seize Iranian nuclear sites and extract enriched uranium. Nearly impossible. Option 2, non-conventional weapons, tactical nuclear bombs. These aren't like strategic nuclear weapons with wide effects, they're limited to specific areas. And this possibility is increasing, especially with rhetoric and American media preparing for such a historic event. Some prominent American media figures have stated Trump wants to be the president who dropped a nuclear bomb. Given his personality, his love of spectacle, his need to attach his name to unprecedented historical events, this isn't far-fetched, this is Shadow Archives. We don't do fear-mongering, we do pattern recognition, we connect what others won't. If you've followed this far, you understand what's at stake. Share this, follow for updates, because the next 48 hours could redefine everything. Shadow Archives, the full picture.
So again, I think when he talks about the damage that's been done to American bases, the damage that's been done to Tel Aviv, I mean, he's exactly right. And just taking this again from what I've been saying since 2024, which was, well, really since 2023 and shortly after the Gaza attacks, was that Israel was betting it all on taking Iran, that they put their entire reputation on the line, killing the people of Gaza in a way so brutal, so horrific. I mean, they knew that their reputation wouldn't recover. They didn't care. They thought, we'll burn the reputation, we'll burn the goodwill of the world, and as long as we take Iran, it will all be worth it. But they basically bet their lives on this. So, like, they're not going to give up. It's not an option for them. because they aren't thinking in terms of weeks or months. They're thinking in terms of decades. And they understand that they have just put a hardcore time limit on America's, or, you know, Israel's current method of existing, right? There is a hardcore deadline now, because within 10 to 15 years, American support for Israel will have absolutely collapsed and will never come back. They understand that there's no PR campaign that can undo what's happened to Gaza. They understand that fully. They're fine with that. It doesn't matter as long as they can get Iran. If they can get Iran, if they can be uncontested in the region as a superpower of their own, you know, accord, then they don't need America anymore. And the support here being gone doesn't actually matter. Actually, it's kind of a good thing, because then you have an excuse to say, gee, it looks like America is anti-Semitic. Guess all the American Jews have to move to Israel, join us over here, and then we can go to war against America because it's so anti-Semitic and you have to die. So in that frame, you know, with that understanding, they're not going to give up on Iran, which is why it's so bizarre and insane that there's not any better war aims. That I don't think they'll just be satisfied with, okay, Iran is, you know, not as functional as it was before. I think they need it like completely wiped off the map. And I'm not the only one saying this or noticing this or seeing the sort of inevitability that we're headed towards. Because, and I know right-wing politicians in America tend to speak hyperbolically about this stuff anyway, but these are also the people with the ability to carry out these policies. Let's go to clip number 24. This is Lindsey Graham talking about what should be done, in this case, to Gaza. But do you think he feels any differently about Iran? He might hate Iran more. Here's Lindsey Graham saying what he thinks should be done to Israel's enemies.
We do in World War II. Did we think 1 minute about starving the Germans? Did we bomb every city into to smithereens? So this
you
is a war.
No, October 7th to World War II.
Yes, I am. This is an absolute existential threat to the Jewish people. Mm. What happened on October the 7th was 1,200 people were slaughtered, raped, and murdered and filmed by radical Islamists who would kill every Jew if they could, to the world. If you don't understand, this is a threat to Israel.
And then
survival.
They flattened Gaza.
Just flatten it. We flattened Berlin. We flattened Tokyo. Were we wrong to drop an atomic bomb to end the Japanese reign of terror? Were we? So my view, if I were Israel, I would have probably done it the same way. Without military victory, there is no hope of breaking radicalism. We flattened Germany. We flattened Japan.
How many Americans believe this?
Out of that, we
the way that do they? How many Americans think the way that you do?
I think most Republicans think the way I do.
Even young ones.
Yeah, you're just out of touch if you don't understand Republicans when it comes.
I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, the man is literally just like a cartoon villain. Like he looks like how Hollywood would portray him. Like he is central casting villain, bad guy, evil dude, demon in a pasty pale disguise. Looks like a dog. I mean, it's just like the irony, of course, of being like, if you want to get rid of extreme, you know, these people are extremists. So they should all be murdered. Every one of them. The kids too, of course. They're extremist. Do you know how extreme their views are? They should all be turned to radioactive dust, okay? Because of how extreme they are. I'm the reasonable one. All I want to do is vaporize all of them. They're the crazy ones. Like, it's insane. These people are genuinely insane and dangerous. I don't know what else there is to say. Was it a good thing? And by the way, the weird thing is like, was there 1 minute of thought? Yeah, we kind of agonized over it for like a long time, and really still, like, even after choosing to drop it, we're very nervous about the moral implications of what we had just done. Like, thank God there weren't people like Lindsey Graham running our country back during World War II. Thank God our people had some sort of morals and scruples. And by the way, the really horrible, damaging stuff we did to Germany that, by the again, was totally unwarranted, totally unnecessary, totally not strategically necessary, like, whatsoever. And we firebombed, which, if you understand, it means, like, that's not just like you drop bombs with fire. It means like you drop so many bombs and the fire gets raging so intensely that it is like self-perpetuating. It's where you get like the fire tornadoes, and it's like the term firestorm, right? It's something else. It actually creates like vortexes because of the insane heat that is like melts steel. Like, it gets incredibly hot, more than just regular fire. That's what we did to like Dresden, right? It's just like a civilian population. The UK firebombed Dresden, killed 100,000 people in a single night. And by the way, that was totally hidden and secret and kept from the British government because it was so shameful, and the British people would have been so outraged that their government had been engaged in such a catastrophic crime against humanity that it was hidden and disguised, and nobody knew about it until, what's his name? David... who's the writer? I'm totally blanking on his name. But he went to Germany and heard the story firsthand and was like, I had no idea about this. A guy from the UK wrote a book about it and became a bestseller because the people in the UK were horrified at what their government had done and were happy to know that this crime had been committed. Because, you know, you don't want to be ignorant to the fact that you were in some way unknowingly party to a war crime. So again, the idea, this cavalier, like, did we even think for a single second about murdering everyone in Germany? It's like, yeah, we did. And you could make the argument that out of necessity, because of the scale to which the war eventually got, certain extraordinary measures were justified. I wouldn't even argue that necessarily, but certainly with Japan, we were dealing with a very different type of enemy. It's just, it really is just sick that we have people like Lindsey Graham representing us. And of course, the person who's challenging him, I keep talking about, I got to bring in the, guys, just find, if you can find Lindsey Graham's challenger. She's a Democrat woman who I guarantee you is some sort of far leftist communist. But she's just like, we can't have people like Lindsey Graham representing us. I'm a mother of four, and I want to look out for South Carolinians, not do whatever this guy's doing. And Lindsey Graham just like, we'll kill them all. We'll burn them all to death and we'll dance on their graves. And it's like, okay, I'd vote for her. Why not, right? Just hand it over. Hand over America to the Democrats. Why not? Hand over Iran to the Israelis. Hand over America to the Democrats. And then you can die fat and happy knowing that you destroyed the world and put a final stake in any possibility that the American people ever regain our nation ever again. Thanks, Lindsay. You have a girl's name. Let's go to clip 23 here, because again, this is rumors. This is from RT, and it's a report about what the Iranians are demanding of America. And if we had people that actually cared about America, they might actually take this offer, and it might actually be a good thing. But when you know the character of the people that run our country and run Israel, they'll never do what Iran wants them to do. They'll just get more and more frustrated that they're not winning, and I think the nuke is like the easiest answer for them, and they might just do it. I've never seen them choose not to do something because of like the insane precedent it would set. The last couple of years has been evidence of the fact that like international outrage, international law, basic decency, the fact that it's all going to be filmed and known by, it doesn't matter. They don't care. They don't care. They just bombed an elementary school full of school children. And then did it again and then again. They've bombed like 13 hospitals. They don't care. Okay. Might actually just be a quicker and more merciful way to do what they're going to do anyway. I don't know. Maybe a nuke is the merciful choice at this junction when you have murderous psychopaths with a seemingly endless supply of smart bombs. Let's go to clip 23 here.
Okay, some updates emerging from the Middle East, and they appear to be significant ones. Our correspondent in Tehran has learned that political discussions are underway at a regional level and that U.S. military assets across the Middle East could soon allegedly, be evacuated for a period of time. That would then lead to Iran halting its strikes on Gulf states, just to recall that it said that it would attack those nations if the US had military presence there. And that is what has been seen over the past 12 days. Also, one of Tehran's key goals, we know, is the permanent withdrawal and closure of American bases in the region. The Persian nation indeed has threatened that it will not allow those facilities to be rebuilt. When we get a little bit more on this story, we'll verify exactly as to how many, if not all, those US military bases either closed down or shipped out, and what that will mean for the conflict at large in the coming hours.
So do we think that'll happen? Do we really think that America will agree to the demand that we remove all of our bases? I would love it if that was the case. That was actually the smart move. It's actually a win-win situation. I don't want to be policing the world with having our young men die in some godforsaken desert against the extremists that are another branch of our government armed. Like, okay, yeah, let's get the whole bases out and win-win. Okay, you want the bases out, we want the bases out. Let's come to an agreement. That's amazing. Wouldn't that be great? So I guess the question is the U.S. Army more likely to tuck its tail and leave the Middle East and abandon the place where we've fought for trillions, spent trillions of dollars fighting, fought for years, lost hundreds of thousands of lives, also a major, like the major artery crossroads of the rest of the world? Are we more likely to voluntarily evacuate that area and surrender it to Iran or use a nuclear bomb? Which do you think the United States military, the United States military industrial empire, at the head of which sits Israel, which do you think is more likely? I think I wouldn't be surprised if we learned we'd already used a tactical nuke. Some of the big explosions that we've seen recently, the giant mushroom clouds a mile high, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest to learn, actually, we used a tactical nuke last week. We just didn't tell you. So I think we're very much on the road towards that. Another reason might be this, clip number 28. Seems like the market for nuclear-resistant doomsday shelters is heating up amongst the billionaires. Let's watch.
What I am aware of is that everybody's telling me we're on borrowed time.
To the extent you can talk about what might be imminent, what is imminent?
Time is not a luxury that we can afford. The time has come, we need to start having the conversation collectively. We should have had it a while ago, but we really need to start having the conversation.
Yeah, it's probably already written on the wind one way or another, and it's going to happen. And there's little or nothing we can do about it. Part of that is a function of nobody's going to listen anyway, you know, and so who are we talking to, right? So we'll know, maybe we'll have more information than the average person on the street is going to have. Things are really going to be bad. And how do you prepare yourself for that and those that you love and care for or friends? How do you prepare for any of that, right? So that's probably the best that we can do.
I think things are going to be pretty difficult starting in a few years. And from what I've been told by sources.
What does that mean? It's going to be difficult.
It's
what
just, things are- I mean, I can't say specifically. I don't know that much yet. And I can't really say, but just that a lot of what we take for granted now in life, I don't think is going to be, we're not going to have it. A lot of things we have now that makes our lives as wonderful as they are.
He says that he's as sure as he can be that the people who are calling the shots in the world, you can call them the Illuminati, the controllers, the cabal, whatever name you have for them, they believe that there is going to be what he called a geophysical event. A major geophysical event. There have been trillions of dollars that have been spent on deep underground bases for some reason, which we don't know why it is.
Earth's climate also changes pretty radically over
all right,
the course
I'll go ahead
of
it. And take it down now. So, and that video goes on and on. It's a compilation of all the, you know, connected people. And like, we tell you this all the time. Like, I don't know what you think billionaires talk about while they're like together. It's breakaway civilizations, living forever, having your own nuclear bunker, and how to staff it. Like, this is the conversation that they have because they don't care about us and they don't care about the rest of the world. And I can't understand their mindset, because who would want to live like, it's Dr. Strangelove, right? How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. The whole point of that movie is that when the rich, elite, powerful people learn that in the event of a nuclear holocaust, then they would get to live in an underground city with a bunch of fertile women to rebuild the human race, and they'd be in charge forever. And they're like, maybe it's not so bad if the world gets nuked. That's the mindset of these people. Like, you know, maybe not quite that like hard nose, but like at the end of the day, they have all the power. They're the billionaires, the trillionaires. If they thought it was so bad, if they really thought the world was ending, like what? So you're just going to be the last person on Earth. You're just going to be holed away in your little underground bunker that where the ceiling is painted like the sky. You're going to live in a cage for, you know, 50 years until you expire while the rest of the world is blanketed in radioactive haze. Like, is that, that's your plan? That's your great escape? Exactly. Why don't you use just a fraction of the money that you spend on yourself and your just insane breakaway civilization and use it to fix the world, use it to actually repair the problems, use it to mitigate some of the threats that we're up against? But no, they would never do that. They're going to break away, and then they're going to cause the catastrophe, because they all will tell you it's a foregone conclusion. It's assumed. And the problem is, it's not just old coots and billionaires like this. I had a friend that went and visited the offices of a very, you know, prominent AI company. I think it was Anthropic. I'm not entirely sure. He's basically like, yeah, everybody there is convinced that the world is over, basically, that we have like maybe 10 years left, and that the only thing to do is party as hard as you can, make as much money as you possibly can, because there's nothing you can do to change it. And it's like, okay, so you're telling me that there's like 100 engineers that are the smartest people in the world with the most advanced technology ever in existence, and they all are just going with the foregone conclusion that there's no hope and there's nothing to do and there's no way to prevent whatever catastrophe they think is coming. I bet they all have different theories too. You know, it'd be one thing if there's just like, yeah, there's a moon-sized asteroid headed towards Earth. It's going to hit in 100 years. Like, that's it. All we can hope to do is, like, maybe we could escape to the moon for, you know. It's not like there's, like, a big threat that everybody just goes, well, I guess let's party because that's all it is. It's like one of them thinks AI is going to take over. Another one thinks a nuclear holocaust is inevitable. Another one just, like, thinks climate change is real. They all just want the world to end, and so they believe that's the case, and so they contribute to the world ending. We have a severe like lack of hope. I think we need hope. I think people need to understand that it is a self-fulfilling prophecy to say that we have lost and the world is not worth saving. If you believe that, then you're right.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at theoptimistwar.com and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.